experience an unpleasant truth.
America must choose to build a future or obsess about the past. To be a nation of fear, division, and of darkness.
Use your aggressive feeling.
Embrace anger, chaos, and truth, but in the shadow of lies.
Let the hate flow through you.
Together we can choose a different path.
Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy.
Our nation of fear, division, and of darkness.
Break me down with all of your hatred, and your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
Embrace anger. Thrive on chaos. But in the shadow of lies.
So this is how liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
Across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea. 3 hours of bold truth, excellence, and optimism for America. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour three, Wendy Bell Radio Program. I am Wendy. I'm a mom. I'm a common sense conservative. And I freely admit to you, it wasn't until COVID that I woke up. It wasn't until COVID that I started to see with great clarity what the hell was going on. And I sometimes am embarrassed to admit to you that I was asleep at the wheel, was busy raising my family, working multiple jobs, doing what I was doing. And I didn't pay attention. And then I started paying attention. And once you open your eyes, I wonder how the black community feels sometimes. I really do. Promised the world and given crap. Told by white liberals that they're here to save the day. Just vote for us. We'll take care of you. They've been abused. They've been lied to. They've been kept down on purpose, and they're not taking it anymore. And for that, I'm grateful. But think about the generations of lies that have been told these people. So I was particularly interested in this woman at the Chick-fil-A in Atlanta. We played this for you last week. So Donald Trump stops by a Chick-fil-A in Atlanta, and it's not really an impromptu thing. I don't really think you can impromptu when you're Donald Trump. Everything needs to be swept. People need to be monitored. Secret Service is all over the place, right? Now more than ever. And so this Chick-fil-A happened to have representatives from a handful of historically black colleges and universities on site to see Donald Trump. In this woman, her name is Michaela Montgomery. She's a teacher in some capacity. I don't know where she teaches. I don't know what she teaches, but she references her students. If this young woman is representative of the black community, thank goodness. Because she is smart. She is sage. She's on to the con. And she's teaching her students, whoever they are, to identify the narrative pushed by the mainstream urban media, as she will call it, vis-a-vis the reality of what they're living through. And I want you to hear, this is hopeful to me. Because in a beautiful and surgical fashion, this young woman is able to dismantle the narrative of the left in a matter of 4 audio sound bites. And I want you to hear this. She is the young woman who gave him a hug, gave Trump a hug. She's like, don't you believe what you hear on social media, Mr. President? We support you. We support you, sir. And he said, come here, give me a hug. And she literally bounced into his arms, gave him a very enthusiastic hug, and was delighted. It was nice. Listen to her after the fact, as she's asked by the media, so what did you mean by that when you said to him, you kind of shouted it out at the Chick-fil-A, don't believe the media, Mr. President, don't believe what you hear. Listen to this young woman, Michaela Montgomery's answer. Brilliant.
The general consensus or social media would have you thinking that if President Trump were to show up to the HBCU campuses or walk around the ABC community, that like some angry mob would form or a riot would ensue and that he would not be welcome. And clearly the sentiment in that room the other day was the complete opposite. He was very welcome. People were excited to see him. People showed up in support of him. And people, of course, were from all four institutions within the AUC, the local HBCU community in Atlanta.
So we've got students from historically black colleges and universities, four of them represented in this Chick-fil-A. He walks in, and the social media posts and the urban media would have you believe, by twisting the story out of control, that Donald Trump just went to buy everybody chicken sandwiches and milkshakes. And she says, my students, who were apparently in attendance, were able to see in real living color what happened when he walked in, how everybody reacted, how they felt. And then how the media covered it. Sometimes you have to be right there at ground zero to be able to identify the suck. Listen.
And additionally, it was a learning experience for my students because they were able to see and experience firsthand how the media can warp the perception of an opinion or a person. Because, like I said, to think that these students who attend these illustrious institutions aren't smart enough to make their own decisions,
that's
so
right.
Much so that they would only show support for Trump because he bought chicken sandwiches and milkshakes.
It's offensive.
That in itself is the most disturbing part of it all, especially when you think about the fact that it was mainly urban media outlets that were doing everything in their power to turn other black people against these young black kids who simply were not shy to explore other options.
It's offensive that the media think we're not smart enough to know what the hell is going on. And my students got a front row seat. What a valuable lesson. Now, why is it that young blacks are gravitating toward Donald Trump? What is it about the president? Michaela, listen.
I think, and this is a sentiment I get a lot coming from the young people themselves,
yeah,
is that they feel like he's honest. They feel like this is somebody who, while we might not agree with how he says things, how he goes about things, at least he's telling us what it is. We don't feel like this is a snake in the grass waiting for his chance to bite us. This is somebody who's telling us, this is what my plan is. Here's how I plan to execute it. Here's the people involved. And here's how you can get involved.
And the difference between now and in 2016, when Donald Trump said to the black community specifically, what do you have to lose? The answer now, on this tax day, 2024, is everything. And the black community knows it. And then this young woman, in this beautiful, thoughtful way, drops the ultimate mic. What exactly has Joe Biden done for the black community when you think about it? Why ever would you keep voting for that? Go.
If anything, one could argue that he dedicated his entire senatorial career to disrupting the way of life, you know, for black people. He didn't want black kids going to the same school as his kids. He didn't want black people walking on the sidewalk along with his mother and grandmother. So the fact that we ignore these things that were said on the Senate floor, like this is somebody who passed legislation with the sole intent of oppressing a certain community. Mm. And we're gonna act like that didn't happen, or we're gonna act like it can be overshadowed by somebody's comments a few years down the line that made us feel some type of way. Feeling some type of way is completely different when you can feel a certain type of way at home. There's people who are, you know, as of right now, spending the rest of their lives in jail because, you know, Joe Biden thought that they deserved it, as if there isn't retribution. And then you had somebody like Trump come in and give us the First Step Act to try and right the wrongs that were done with this three strikes rule. And nobody's talking about that.
There is no rewriting history in a community that knows its history. You can't con people who've been conned and have awakened to the con. You can say the 1619 Project is the real history of America. But the men and women in the black community know better. It's not about litigating the past. It's about saving the future. That young woman said so much in under 5 minutes. She just told the Democratic Party, we're on to the con. Knock it off. The number of times, too, that I've heard people in man-on-the-street situations, Brandon Straka did it not that long ago, on the streets of New York, where black women came up to him and they were talking about the issue of race in America today. And they're able to dissect the history of it and say that historically, black Americans are conservative because the Republican Party is the party of freedom. The party that abolished the slavery movement. They know all of this, my friends. The handouts, the free stuff that was promised them hasn't come through. Whew. When we come back, you know what's happening in Manhattan today? We got to talk about this. The real threat to democracy. The Wall Street Journal editorial board awakening from its slumber in a blistering critique of unnecessary prosecution and Alvin Bragg. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Yeah, I got to read you this. A lot of you don't have a subscription to the Wall Street Journal. We do. I read some of these opinion pieces. I think they're a good gauge, kind of like polls. Good gauge on where people are out there in the world. And this one just grabbed me. This editorial board is by no means conservative. But they know facts. And it's refreshing to read those. So this is dealing specifically with the hush money trial going on in Manhattan with Alvin Bragg, who, by the way, as a deputy in New York's attorney general's office, sued the Trump administration more than 100 times. Funded by George Soros and the PAC, Color of Change. We could get into that. I digress. Here is the article. The Trump trial spectacle begins. Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's hush money case is a legal stretch that should not have been brought. Donald Trump Monday will become the first former U.S. president and the first leading presidential candidate to be put on criminal trial. Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg will try to prove to a jury that Mr. Trump is guilty of 34 felonies related to his 2016 hush money to adult film star Stormy Daniels. 8 years later and 7 months before the 2024 election, it's a trial that shouldn't happen in a case Mr. Bragg shouldn't have brought. The Stormy affair was sordid business, they say. But the DA's argument is a legal stretch in ways that might bother a skeptical juror or an appeals court. What are we doing? The facts are these. Ms. Daniels has said that in 2006, she and Trump had an intimate encounter. By the way, Trump has showed a document signed by her that said no such encounter ever happened. So you decide. A decade later, as the 2016 election neared, Mr. Trump's fixer, Michael Cohen, paid Ms. Daniels $130,000 to keep quiet. A non-disclosure agreement is not illegal. Mr. Bragg's complaint is about the paperwork. Mr. Cohen was reimbursed through 2017 via a monthly retainer disguised as a payment for legal services, the DA says. He padded his indictment by separately charging each invoice, every check, and every single ledger entry to get 34 counts. And by the way, we know Michael Cohen was sleeping with Stormy Daniels during the whole hush money thing and concocted that as a plan to extort money from Trump. But we'll let the editorial board leave that out. Falsifying business records in New York can be a misdemeanor, but the statute of limitations on that has expired. So Mr. Bragg, therefore, must charge felonies, which under New York law means showing that Mr. Trump cooked the books with, quote, intent to commit another crime or to aid or conceal the commission thereof. So what is the argument? What was he trying to do? Even that requires special dispensation. The 2017 payments are outside the five-year felony window, but State Judge Juan Merchan ruled that Mr. Bragg enjoys an extra year of leeway after emergency COVID-19 executive orders stopped the clock on legal cases. Isn't it so cool how they all work in concert to suck? The crucial question is Mr. Trump's alleged second crime. To bring bookkeeping felonies, Mr. Bragg needs an underlying offense that Mr. Trump intended to commit or conceal, even if it isn't prosecuted. We're making up smoke and mirrors. We're going after January 6th protesters, creating the illusion of some threat to democracy, some stampeding without weapons. All of it is so weak. They know it. Which is why they need bad judges, which is why they need Soros-funded prosecutors. All of this is dubious. Is paying a mistress a bona fide campaign expense? Going to be a question that they're going to be talking about. Really? Something that happened in 2006 for a crime alleged, or something that happened that Stormy Daniels herself said didn't happen? How much more can they fabricate? What else can they create? What other well of concoction can they dip the bucket into and come out with something fresh for the media to sink their teeth into? It's the same weak argument that a phone call in which Donald Trump urged Zelensky, you might want to clean things up over there because you've got a dirty reputation. And I don't like dirty, especially if you've been doing dirty stuff with my opponent and his family. And that impeaches one of the most effective America First presidents we have ever had in our American history. So that's a teaser beezer of the editorial board opinion. This is a stretch. It is ridiculous. It's a waste of time, and it's purposeful to sully Donald Trump's reputation. And really all it does is awaken more people to the ridiculous vilifying of one man. When we come back, Joe Biden's FBI isn't just knocking on your door. Oh boy, next. You know, it's bad enough when the FBI knocks on your door because they want to talk to you about something you've written on Instagram. That is mind-boggling. As 86 House Republicans voted with the Democrats to sink an amendment to the FISA Act, that FISA bill with Section 702 that would have mandated that the Department of Justice, all of its creepy minions, have to prove why and go to a judge and get a warrant in order to spy on you. It seems basic, does it not? Well, it's not just you and Facebook and Instagram. It's not just you and the FBI. It's the FBI and Donald Trump's White House valet. What? What are you talking about? BizPackReview.com. We need to get you sweaty. Critics blast the FBI's interrogation of Trump's valet after a transcript was exposed. What are you talking about? What's this valet? Who is this? What are they? Here you go. A redacted version of the FBI interview of former President Trump's valet from 2022 was unsealed raising questions about the probe of sensitive materials boxed at the Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. See, when you're doing a good job for the American people, as Joe Biden's administration should be, the way they promised us they would, that they would be the most responsive, that they would be the most transparent, that they would be the most effective, that they would bring back civility, that it was going to be the kumbaya tent of everybody. We're all in this together, right? Oh, see, if you were doing that, you wouldn't have time to try to get dirt on your political opponent. Isn't this what Donald Trump got impeached for one time? Oh. The unsealed transcript shows Walt Nauta being questioned by FBI agents in May of 2022. Nauta has denied charges against him, alleging he obstructed federal agents by moving boxes around the former president's Palm Beach home. While some media reports on the unsealed document focused on the agents seeming to question whether Nauta was coached in his responses, another look at the transcript raises questions about the disturbing line of questions asked. So wait a minute, the FBI goes to knock on the door of the guy who was the valet, kind of like the butler, the guy who's Donald Trump's right-hand man at the White House, who gets everything ready for him, right? We're going to bring you in. Shh, quietly. We don't want anybody to know about that. Why? Why would you do that? The FBI examined Nauta without Trump's knowledge. They peppered him with questions about, quote, not just the movement of boxes, but Donald Trump's habits and conversations, according to journalist Julie Kelly. Just imagine the FBI doing this to any other foreign president, she wrote on X. Does anybody know that you're here other than your attorney? An agent reportedly asked Nauta, the White House valet for President Trump, according to the transcript. When Nauta responded in the negative, he was further asked, well, what about the former president? Does he know? No, as far as he knows, I'm out jogging, Trump's valet replied. FBI agents unidentified for now, but Julie Kelly believes they're out of the Washington FBI field office, of course. Low-key, the FBI agents kind of low-key accuse Nauta of being something other than an aide, and they pressure him to snitch on his boss, Trump, right? Part of the transcript shows FBI agents taking advantage of, quote, Nauta's loyalties as a Navy officer to suggest Trump is risking the lives of those who produce the papers, according to Kelly, who added, dirty bastards, I would agree. One agent's repeated use of the phrase, you know, led Kelly to remark that they sounded like Valley Girls. This is the best and the brightest we have in the FBI. Agents seemed interested in what kind of personal items Donald Trump kept in his boxes. Why would you need to know? See, if you're doing your job, you don't need cheat sheets, ghost phones, aliases, pseudonyms. You don't need shell companies. You don't need 9 or 10 family members helping you out, right? You don't need this web of deceit and lies and cover-ups. And you don't need to keep running for office so you'll stay out of jail. Because you have a guilt-free conscience. You're able to talk off the cuff. You're able to address tens of thousands of people the way Donald Trump did in Pennsylvania over the weekend. Granted, he's got teleprompter, but I've been to multiple rallies. Guy goes off script quite commonly and does manage to do it pretty effectively. They're going after him because they know they're going to lose. So that's disgusting, this covert commingling with people ostensibly to get dirt on Donald Trump because the wiretaps weren't enough. Don't forget. And by the way, before I move too far past, let me make sure, I want to bring this up because I didn't make this point. Remember, Congress has demanded, Congress meaning House Republicans have demanded that the CIA produce documents that link Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton to the scandal against the Trump campaign, the spying, the dossier, all of it. They haven't produced them. Congress has demanded that the fraudulent FISA warrants against the Trump campaign be unredacted, and the FBI refuses. Yet, of course, we have some Republicans who voted in concert to let them continue those abuses. Mike Johnson was among them. That concerns me. Now I want to get to this story. Because this awakening isn't just sniffing out the suck as it pertains to Donald Trump. Because we see that every day as he's the continual whipping boy. Let's talk about what Rand Paul has been up to. Rand Paul, and I think Ron Johnson, are the two senators who have most doggedly gone after all things COVID, all things vaccine nonsense, all things overreach, all things fraud, corruption, Fauci, FDA, Pfizer, Big Pharma, all of it. World Health Organization, all of it. This is interesting, though. This is from MSN.com. Rand Paul vows to probe Dr. Anthony Fauci's, quote, secret trips to the CIA before COVID-19. Wait a minute. Fauci made secret trips to the CIA. It says he's salivating at a possible Trump presidency to hold federal agencies accountable for pandemic cover-up. You know, it's easy to forget that that's what's at stake here. That's the open border, right? That's why they need this rush of humanity. They need these people to register. They need these people to go to Bethlehem to be counted, ostensibly. That's what they need. Because they know if Donald Trump wins and the House stays and the Senate is flipped, they're cooked. They're cooked. Senator Rand Paul said he's going to continue his probe into the origins of COVID-19. We all know where it came from. It's a matter of awakening the last few vestiges on cruise control. In an exclusive interview with DailyMail.com, Paul disclosed that Fauci, the former director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, was pretty friendly with the CIA. Which is notably one of the few federal agencies that still has not clearly established COVID-19 origins. It's like we're all waiting. You know, I don't know. I'm totally confused. It could have been in a bat. Could have been in a wet market. Could have been people making out. I don't know. Or it could have been that lab thing where all of the money that we saw and the gain of function stuff that we saw and the dirty scoundrels, Peter Daszak and Ralph Baric and all those dirtbags with the bat lady, right? All of the money from Eco Health Alliance, you know, all that stuff that we know about. I don't know. Which way is it? I'm waiting for the CIA to tell us. Said nobody with a functioning brainstem. The CIA officially still says that COVID-19 is probably from animals, Senator Paul said. Really? See, we've so moved on from that, and maybe the CIA needs like a briefing or something. Like, this just in. Nobody's buying that BS anymore. We also have stories, rumors, and innuendo that Fauci was a frequent visitor off the books to the CIA. Fauci off the books. Fauci, who's the only person aside from Joe Biden, I think, who's got 24 hours armed security, right? Why does he have armed security? Who cares what happens to that cat? He's a liar and a dirtbag and a shill for Big Pharma. Rand Paul pointed to how the CIA disagrees with findings from the Department of Energy and the FBI that have said the pandemic likely originated from a leaked Wuhan, China lab. Only somebody who's asleep or comatose doesn't see that. And that, though initial CIA assessment found the lab leak theory was likely, senior officials in the agency overruled those findings. Were any of these CIA officials people who were also quick to connect on the Hunter Russia disinformation laptop BS, right? Are these the same people who came out to discredit the Great Barrington Declaration in that swift and devastating takedown that what's-his-face Collins asked Fauci for? They're all corrupt. They're all dirty. They're all dirtbags. They all got rich off of making you sick and forcing you to roll up your sleeve and get something you neither wanted nor needed. And now that you're injured or you're asking questions, it's crickets. We got some sound of the week, sound, best sound. See, saving the best for last. You're not allowed to go anywhere. I've got it for you coming up on the Wendy Bell Radio program. All right, I got to give you the sound of the day, all right? Sound you might have missed over the weekend that I think is super duper important here on the Wendy Bell Radio program. And we've got four, so I'm going to get right to them. Number one, Donald Trump calling out a reporter at Mar-a-Lago as he's there with Speaker Mike Johnson, dropping the details of the SAVE Act for election integrity. He's asked about abortion by a reporter. He drops this person summarily. Enjoy.
The Democrats are the radicals on this because they're willing to have abortions in the 7th, 8th, 9th month. They're even willing, and you can call it what you want, but you go back to the governor of Virginia, the previous governor of Virginia, the Democrat governor of Virginia, where he talked about execution of a baby after birth. And you can say what you want, but that's extreme and that's radical, and nobody should have that, and it has to be ended. Please, go
ahead. Boom, that's extreme, that's radical, and nobody should be having that. It should be ended. There you go. That's what you need to know. Here's Roseanne Barr. She's talking about what's wrong with women in this country. Liberal women. I'm going to go with white college educated liberal women just because I can. Go.
But if you would defend gays, that's homophobia. What is it with women?
Well, you know, I think that too, women have gone, they've lost their damn mind. Mm. Women have lost their damn mind. And especially fat lesbians like her. You know, I mean, for real, am I right?
Yes.
Really fat, bitter lesbians. You know, my sister is a big fat lesbian.
Your sister?
And her partner is a big fat lesbian, yeah, too. And they live up in Marin County where it's like wall-to-wall, big, fat, bitter, short-haired, yeah, lesbians with big keys on their belt. Like that. And they're just bitter,
yeah,
for some reason. I don't know.
Enough said. I agree. That mystery that we've been scratching our heads over. Apparently, we're not the only ones who've identified that. There you go, Roseanne Barr. Yes, a national treasure. Audio soundbite number three. Here's Tucker Carlson with a deep state election interference warning. Boop, 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 boop.
What you have here is what we're seeing now. For the third time in three consecutive cycles, secretive federal agencies are trying to rig our presidential election. This is what the Democrats refer to as democracy. Mm. And they're trying to defend it. But of course, it's the opposite of democracy. It's in fact the end of democracy in any semblance of a constitutional republic we ever had. If you have a secret police force threatening people, spying on them, and working secretly the levers of political power, then you don't have a democracy. You have no control over really anything as a voter.
Facts. And this, which I think is so appropriate on this tax day, as hundreds of millions of Americans are bending over and realizing what the cost is of not fighting for election integrity, for not challenging obviously dubious things, for not pushing back on a narrative. You get a Congress that is ineffective, that is corrupt, that is drunk on power, and sees no end in squandering your children and your grandchildren's wealth. Here's Chip Roy, the congressman from Texas.
Every single person I talk to cannot understand how a body that is supposed to be representative of the people comes here and manages to make this country worse on a daily basis, no matter who's in the majority. I defy anybody to prove me otherwise. $34 trillion of debt, and we have my Democratic colleagues saying we can't even have a conversation about Social Security, Medicare, and we have ATR and a bunch of people flipping out on our side saying you can't even have a conversation about taxes. What in the utter hell is wrong with this body? It is just mind-blowing. If you believe in modern monetary theory, then put your money where your mouth is and just get rid of taxes. Why should we have a single dollar of taxation if you believe in modern monetary theory? Just spend our children's inheritance. Do you watch the debt clock and have even a pang of guilt at your own incompetence? And I'm looking at every member of the body, both sides of the aisle, and I'm looking in the mirror. We can't even cut discretionary spending. We can't even cut bureaucrats and programs that have very little discernible value to the American citizens. And we think we're going to have a serious conversation about Social Security and Medicare? It's laughable. It is absolutely laughable. And it's an embarrassment to come back and sit here in a committee where we have colleagues shutting down any chance of bipartisan efforts to put everything on the table and do our damn job. Meanwhile, the American people are the people left holding the bag. So this bill, I mean, frankly, every one of these commissions in the past has failed. That's why we're $34 trillion in debt. I'll support this one. I hope we can do something. But right now, the American people are looking at us and wondering, what in the hell is this Congress doing for them?
100%. It's Michaela Montgomery in the Chick-fil-A. When asked, what is Joe Biden? What has the Democratic Party done for you? People are looking around now. You used to be able to be on autopilot. You had the luxury of being in your own self-prescribed coma because you could get by. But people can't get by anymore because they want to destroy us. And they've been on a fast track with the gas pedal on the ground to put us there. And as Bill Maher said, if progressives and liberalism is usually the gas pedal and conservatism is the brakes, and he's normally been for the gas pedal of quote unquote progress, he says not when you're going off of a cliff. And the question becomes, can they fix it before it's too late? And that is where each of us come into play. Hey, we're so delighted that you found us. I hope you come back. Same time, same place tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks. Peace.